we will be launching on this lesson. If you did not receive a lesson sheet, raise your hand and somebody will bring one to you. I want to follow along. This is going to take us more than one Sunday to be sure. But as you can see by the title, the will of God, the will of God. Now, we all have much of the same will of God ascribed to us. The Lord wants us to do right, not to sin, go to the house of God, read our Bibles. These are things across the board. But there's more to it than that because we're all individuals and God has an individual plan. If everyone here in this room was called to be the pastor and we're all standing across the room, who would we be teaching this morning? No, we're not all called to be the preacher teacher, you see, but we are called to do something. There's a perfect will of God, and it's a wonderful thing. Psalm 143, verse 10 speaks to that. David says here, teach me to do thy will. Thy will. Not my will, he says. Not others' wills. Not pleasing the multitudes. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Here is a submission, a statement of acknowledgement and submission to God. Would this be your statement this morning? Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Well, I trust that it is. I trust that's our desire, that's our attitude. And notice now in your notes, number one, is it your desire to be in the will of Almighty God? Almighty God, creator of all things. I think it'd be a good idea to be in his will. I'm just thinking, you know. I think it'd be a horrible idea to choose to be out of the will of God. But many a human being goes through that. We choose our will. And that's what we'd be careful as humans, as Christians. Number two, your greatest discovery other than salvation is finding God's will for your life. Nothing better. Nothing greater. Wonderful discovery. I got it. I know what God wants in my life. What he expects from me specifically. He's not asking this person or directing this person to do this. This is about me. This is where he wants me to serve. This is what he wants me to do. The greatest of discoveries. I was 8 years saved in this church, serving, trying to be faithful, when I found God's will for my life. When he began to speak to me, you see. There's the greatest discovery, other than how to be saved, other than the light, that glorious gospel light that shined in my mind and heart, that brought me to Christ to be saved. Nothing beats that. Amen? You become the child of God, your eternity established. Nothing's greater than that, to be saved. Man, I trust we never get over that. You're going to heaven, you're saved. Amen? But boy, the next greatest thing is discovering what the will of God is in your life. And under that, the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life is to obey the will of God. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to follow through with it. Notice number three, disobedience to God's will is sin. Then we turn to James. James tells us, after Hebrews, book of James, in James 4:17, I remember how striking this verse was the very first time that I came across it reading. It says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I guess before I really acknowledged that verse, I guess, you know, to do his will, that's a good thing. If I don't, well, that's my choice. But it is what it is. You know, it would be good to choose to do his will, what he wants me to do. But here it says to know it and to do it not. It's sin. Now, we often ascribe that to those sins of omission. We're often led to entertain our thoughts only the sins of commission. That I did this, I wasn't supposed to. I did that, and I wasn't supposed to. But the sins of omission are the sins, this is what God wants you to do. This is what you should do. And included in that, and not doing them, that's a sin. Included in that would be knowing the will of God for my life and saying, no. No, I'm going to choose an easier path. We're deceived. It's not usually an easier path. God has a perfect plan for your life and mine. Notice number four, disobeying God's known will in your life leads to other sins. Because you're not where you need to be, you see. And I cited one example here in Acts chapter 5. We have recorded the story of Cornelius and Ananias and his wife Sapphira. And it was the birth of the church. It was beginning to grow. And the spirit of the church was, man, it's all about God and others. And in this excitement and enthusiasm, the end of chapter 4 tells us these Christians were actually selling off everything. And all things were made common. And they provided for everybody who didn't have. See? Now, it wasn't a requirement that everybody sell everything you have. But you know what? These that were doing that, man, they were highly regarded. And apparently it struck Ananias and Sapphira. Man, I kind of like to have that kind of attention. They sold off their lands, but they decided we're going to make like we are giving it all, like all the others. But we're going to hold back some. We're going to hold back some. Now, to deceive Peter and others, and in truth deceiving God, it brought judgment upon them. They kept back, but they feigned that they did give all. And you notice in chapter 5, it says, verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. So she was on board, you see. Now, the sin wasn't keeping back part. Everything they had was theirs, and Peter speaks of that later on when he addresses them. You could have kept it, half of it. Could have kept a lot more, just give a little of it. That wasn't the issue. The issue was they wanted to be seen as the others, as giving all. They kept back part, but feigned or put out this picture. Sin, sin. Well, that can lead to other sins. And you if you know the story, Ananias came and he was challenged by Peter, and he dropped dead. God killed him on the spot. His wife wasn't there. She came later. And verse 7, and it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, this is Sapphira, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. In other words, the issue again, they didn't say they kept back. They didn't allude to the fact that they kept back. This wonderful picture for the accolades it would afford them. And what did she say? And she said, yea, for so much. Was that a lie? Well, of course it was a lie. You see, one sin leads to another. And often the sin that so often follows another sin is the sin of lying. Our natural, carnal self-protection mechanism kicks in, and we're caught, and so we say something to cover up what we did. Isn't that what led David to murder of his loyal and faithful soldier, Uriah the Hittite, to cover up his sin with Bathsheba? This man was too loyal and too good a soldier to follow in the prescribed path that David wanted him to go so that he could cover up his sin. So he had him murdered. So often sins lead to another. And listen, if you choose on purpose, if you know the will of God for your life and you say no, other things will follow. We'll make other poor decisions. Number 5, keep in mind, it's not what I want, nor what I feel is best for me, but rather what God wants and what God knows is best for me. Isaiah 55. Here's an acknowledgement that God's will for my life, what he knows of me, what talents he has given me and you, what spiritual gifts he has given to you. And if you're saved, born again today, you have spiritual gifts. At least one. That's promised of God. Spiritual gifts. And he knows exactly what he gave you when he made you and when you got saved, what he gave you. And it's all part of God's plan. And it's going to fit in properly if you will say yes to his plan. But sometimes we say, no, I don't like that plan. I have my own plan. And what we're acknowledging here is that God's known will for me is the best way to go. Well, here's a good backup to that. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Our thoughts are puny. Our thoughts are short-sighted. Our thoughts are little. Our thoughts are limiting and are very limited. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Could we acknowledge that to be true? So, if I know the will of God for my life, and I say no, I'm either saying I know better, or I'm just going to disobey. These verses make it very clear, you don't know better. God does. And if he manifests his will for your life, smart, intelligent, and God-loving are you to say yes. To say yes. Now, notice number 6. Note these truths about God's will. Hey, it is easier to find God's will than to do it. And note in the parentheses, that's why some don't want to know it. Because some parts of God's will are scary, costly, fearful. B, however, it costs too much to be out of the will of God. Boy, you can hardly find a better example than Jonah, recorded in the Word of God for our benefit. Here's a man who the Bible clearly delineates God's known will for his life. And he said, not only no, I'm not going there, I'm going to go here. In the opposite direction. Jonah, chapter 1, the first few verses says, but now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of the Amittai, saying. So this is the known will of God. And God records this for your benefit and mine. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But, very big word, only 3 letters, but a very big word. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That's pretty stupid. Like you're going to escape the presence of God. Like God can't keep up with you, you see. I mean, we have jet planes today that go pretty fast. But he had a slow boat. Either way, you're not going to outrun God, right? So Jonah, he fleed unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. I think it's very significant, the word down. I think it's symbolic. It's not just directional where he's going. He's going down, man. He chose this path. You chose God's path, you're going up. You choose your path, and it's contrary to God's. You're going down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare thereof and went into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Again, symbolically, that phrase, paid the fare. Oh, did he pay the fare? Because look at verse 15, after God brings this tremendous storm upon them in the ship. 15 says, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Wow, it assuaged the sea. Who's in charge of the sea? God Almighty. So he brought a calm upon the sea when this sacrificial guy was thrown in. Out of the will of God. 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice, and the Lord made vows. 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish, and according to Matthew 12:40, we know that that fish is identified as a whale. to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Of course, that's prophetic of Christ being buried 3 days and three nights before his great resurrection. But I'd say he paid the fare. Amen? And he was cast back out onto the land, but not on the nice beach, sandy beach. He was thrust, spewed, vomited out. So you can imagine the puddle. You can imagine Jonah. You know, I think it's much more costly to be out of the will of God than it is to be in the will of God. And it's for you and I to seek out, search out what it is, and go with his plan, because his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. See, under six, in God's will, there's no failure. Yet outside of God's will, there could be no success. That's a good thing to acknowledge. You say, well, what about those martyrs? They got their heads cut off. I don't see that as being too successful in this life. Can you imagine the rewards of honest to goodness Christian martyrs who gave everything, gave their breath, their life, their families, or if they, their would-be families? The rewards in heaven, you know. We have to acknowledge we're short-sighted. We think so often in terms of this life, and that's how we make our decisions. Well, that won't be good for me later on in this life, or that won't be, it'll be too tough, and what about at the end here? And what about, we use our thoughts, our minds to come up with a plan. Getting around the will of God, his plan. Greatest discovery you'll ever make is the will of God in your life. And the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life is to follow it. It's to follow his plan. And if it meant your head being separated from your shoulders, let me tell you something. There's great rewards in heaven that last for eternity, this life short. Choose God's way. It's the better way. He'll equip you, give you all that you need, the grace of God to live and in the will of God. That'll please him, and he'll bless you. Now, again, there can be no success outside of the known will of God. And many, many, many Christians have opted to take their own plans for life rather than the known plan in the will of God for their life, because they have determined from their assessments that this will be easier. This will be less costly. There's less fear here. I'm more sure here. Faith is taking steps God directs you to, believing in him, that he'll guide and direct, and he'll provide. You see, this is not faith. This is faith. You may not know all of the will of God at the first step, but whatever is revealed at that point, saying yes will bring out some more light and more light. Compare that to the gospel light. You know, the Bible says there is no man on this planet that has an excuse. They're all without excuse why they're not saved. They cannot say that God is unfair, because you think of this, and so often the illustration, well, what about the Aborigine in deep, darkest Africa? You see, what about him? Certainly he has an excuse. There's no missionaries giving the gospel there. But God has revealed himself to every single man by his creation. And how man responds to that limited light, though that's quite a bit of light. If he begins to worship the sun or worship the volcano, he is worshiping that which was created as opposed to the creator. He's not following the prescribed light. God is the light who through his creation draws men in so that they would receive more light. Ultimately, I believe the one who responds properly to each step of light they receive, that God will bring that gospel witness by some missionary. I believe it wholeheartedly. The thing is, most don't. They follow their family and the traditions of men and the religions of men into dark confusion. They don't come to know Christ. But Christ has manifested himself. It's no different than a watch. You know, I don't know how many pieces are on this watch, but, and probably it's a poor example, an illustration, because today you don't have all those little cogs and wheels and, but remember the old clocks, old watches, tiny little wheels and cogs and all turning at different times and different sizes, whatnot. And you think, gee, who put that together? Who made all of those little things, those tiny little things? Wow, you know, I don't worship the watch, but I stand in awe of the maker. And that's the proper response. We marvel in God's creation. You can't even count the stars. On the clearest of nights, you cannot count the stars. God created every one of them. And they're all bigger than our sun. It's huge. The universe is immense. We stand in awe. We don't worship the universe, but we do worship the creator of that universe. When we stand in awe of the clouds and the sun and all the stars at night, wow, God is big. God is big. God has a plan for your life to follow him. Worship him and not your own plans that are short-sighted. Don't worship or follow your plans for what you can see. God has far better. Far better. Define God's will, number 7. Christ must be first. Now, Matthew chapter 6 speaks of God being a great provider. And just believe him. Follow him. And don't worry, ye of little faith. I mean, he takes care of little birds, for goodness sake. But notice the instruction down in verse 33 of Matthew 6. But seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I skipped a word there. What word was that? First. What does that mean? Priority. Right? First. It's not seek me first. It's important, not just we seek God, we seek him first. His will. His will is before my will. Well, I got this all mapped out. I got this all planned out. I think it's all set. I think we're good to go. Yeah, but God says, you're doing good. I got something real special for you. Come here. Come here. Yeah, but I can't see it. Yeah, but hold my hand. Trust me. It's great. It's going to be great. Yeah, but I can't see it. I can see this. It's mapped out. It's good. There's success here. Trust me, son. And many a Christian will say, I don't think so. I'll do everything else. I'll do everything else. Yeah, but I want you to be a missionary. That's the known will for me. Wow, this, it's all lined up. It's good. Missionaries, it's hard. It's tough. They don't see their families for months and months, even years. They're not there at the annual cookout. And some of those places, God, I can't go there. Son, I've got great things for you. I'll take care of you. I want them to know about Jesus, my son. And you're the one that I have prepared. I've given you this knowledge, talents, spiritual gifts for these people. Would you come? And many say no. And I'm going to do this first. See? Matthew says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's hard. It's not easy. But surrendering is the greatest thing you'll ever do. Greatest thing you'll ever do. Colossians chapter 1. Here Paul speaking to these believers at Colossae and giving instruction about his Christ, Jesus. And notice verse 18, and he is the head of the body. That body's the church, see? The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have second billing. That's all my Bible says either. That he might have the preeminence. That he would be first. That's what takes missionaries across the seas to other places, to unfamiliar lands, climates, cultures. It's because they have sought for, with open mind, the will of God in my life, and it was revealed by God to them, and they said, I'm all yours. You know what they did? They gave Christ the preeminence. Now, without a doubt, most Christians finding out the will of God, and it's big. They come up with a list and they start this list. See? But a lot of them get over that list. Because ultimately they give Christ the preeminence. And then all those things that they had planned or set aside, they can't compare. Because his thoughts are better than my thoughts. His ways are better than my ways. I'm going to choose his path. It's an exciting thing to be in the known will of God and giving him the preeminence. Christ is first. 8. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, according as recorded 1 Kings 3:12 tells us that, he weighs in Proverbs. Now, Proverbs is a great book of wisdom, instruction for a practical living, and not just day to day, but the big picture of your life. You'll consider Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 7. These verses can be applied with our day to day steps and decisions we make, week to week, month to month, but beyond that, for our life. Notice verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Consider that. See? Come on, I got better. Yeah, but this is, I can hold this. I can see this. I can feel it. It's secure. But there's security in me if you'll believe me. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust in me. I got some wonderful things. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. So I'm not allowed to pick and choose which ones I'm going to follow. Lord, I will do this, I will do this, and I will do this, all these things. Man, others aren't doing all these things. Surely this is acceptable. But I have you doing those things in preparation for this. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Oh, it's evil. It's wrong. It's sin to knowingly disobey the known will of God. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It'll be better. Trust me, it'll be better. Yeah, but they may kill me. It'll be better. Maybe not in this life. Would you trust me? That's why I've always held missionaries in such high regard. I think missionaries are up here. I'm down here. They're amazing. That's why they need our prayers. our support. Keep them on the fields. They give up so much. But they're in the known will of God. And part of their provisions is the local churches. You see, we're holding the lifelines. We're sending the supplies. They're out there in that battlefield. You disobey God. Number 9A, when you put your will before God. So you don't give him the preeminence. You're not seeking him, his kingdom first. You choose yours. You disobey God. B, when your wants are placed first before God. You understand, Lord, I have to give up this and this and, man, this. I've been saving for this forever, man. You can't ask me to give these things up. Yeah, but there's better. That's all temporary. Come here, come here. Trust me. See, you disobey God when your needs are first before God. Now, wait a minute. My needs? If I need it, now don't put your needs before God. Didn't Matthew 6, we didn't read the whole chapter, but it clearly told us that he'll take care of all your needs. It's a matter of trust, of faith. Look at Job 23, just prior to Psalms, is Job, and in 23, notice verse 12. Notice what Job says. Verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. It's of greater value than my needs, because I know in truth he takes care of all the needs. He promised that. You put your will first, you put your wants first, you even put your needs first to the known will of God. I can't, Lord, because of this. This is my will. This is my wants. And my goodness, you can't hold me at fault for wanting my needs, to have my needs. And that's the mindset. That's the carnal nature. So limited. So self-focused. It's a total reliance on self. I love you, God. Thanks for saving me. Thanks for all that you provided. But this here, I'll do this and I'll do that. This here. I'll even add, I'll do this and do these things more. This is too much. Not everybody's called to the mission field or to full-time ministry. But are there limitations that you and I have set as if our plans are better and loftier than Almighty God's? Something to consider. Has fear and worry of what could be kept you from seeking that perfect will of God in your life? It's the greatest discovery you'll ever make. Paul, you could give testimony. Paul's heart for missions has grown exponentially. He sees the will of God in his life to do something. And no fears. Where are you going to go? It's a wonderful place to be, isn't it, Paul? Yeah. Encouragement. That's our missionaries. Missions Conference is the greatest, one of the greatest weeks of the year. Looking forward to that in October, aren't we? All right. Number 10. When you refuse God's word, you disobey God's will. It will mean suffering. It will mean suffering. Now, Proverbs 5, 11 to 13 says, now here is, Proverbs 5 speaks to the young man of no discretion and no understanding, but this can hold for men of all ages. The warning is verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman. So most of this, don't commit adultery. That's the known will of God. Remove thy way far from her, verse 8. lest thou give, verse 9, thine honor unto others. 10, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth. 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I said no, no to those in higher authority, none higher than God himself. There'll be suffering. You disobey certain things that God has told you in the Word of God, there's suffering. There's consequence to be had. 11, while obeying God's will may at times seem hard, living outside of God's will assuredly yields a harder life. What's often referred to as a school of hard knocks. Many a Christian goes through that school. Or in Jonah's case, Whale University. You got a great education there. Lest we should be receiving that same education. Proverbs 13:15, as we get ready to close. Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor. But the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of transgressors is hard. The way of transgressors is hard. When you choose your plan, your path, over the known will of God, it's going to be hard. And that's in all areas of life. God says, don't do this, don't do this. That's sin. Don't do it. There's consequences. It's going to be hard. The transgressor. When God says, do this, do this, do this, and you don't, that's sin. That's transgression. It's going to be hard. The way of transgressors is hard. And we'll close at 12. Let's consider some major aspects regarding the will of God, and we will, starting next Sunday. All right, God bless you.